Let us light our candles of fellowship, which we light each week to remind ourselves and our children of our work to create a world that is fair and caring. We strive to make the spaces we inhabit peace sites dedicated to promoting peace. We affirm the sacredness of sexuality and gender diversity. We honor all sexual orientations and gender identities, as well as people who have none, and deeply value each other's authenticity. We continue on our journey toward undoing prejudice, racism, and oppression, our journey as individuals, as a community, and as participants in the wider world. We understand disability as a culture, lived history, and embodied experience, and a product of enabling oppressions in society. We work to enable full access and interdependence in our faith community. We are given this one earth and seek to honor this truth by caring for our buildings, our grounds, and all places on this earth in ways that respect the interconnected web of all existence, of which we are but a part. In this spirit, we gather, looking toward the day when all people are inside the candle's warmth and light.
Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church at Washington Crossing. I'm Scott Cullen, longtime member, and it is my privilege to welcome each of you into this hour of worship. This is my fifth or maybe my sixth time leading our annual generation service. Either way, it's an honor and a blessing. Our minister, Reverend Kim, is not with us this morning. She's taking a much deserved holiday break and will be back in the pulpit on January 9th. As you settle into this time, you're invited to take to the chat, offer a good morning to one another, note where you're signing in from, and share what you might say if you were seeing each other in the lobby right now. If this is your first time with us this morning, a special welcome to you. We realize you might not be sure what you'd like to say to folks in the lobby. You don't have to know that just yet. Please simply accept a special welcome. No matter how we gather, we know it's a brave thing to explore a community for the first time. I hope you will recognize in this hour together that we are a congregation striving to create community, celebrate life, and change the world. If after this morning's service you'd like to know more about UUCWC, please fill out a digital visitor's card at the link provided in the chat so we can learn a bit more about you and you about us. Now, even though Reverend Kim is not in the pulpit, we hope this service helps you learn more about our church and the members of our congregation. And for those of you who are members or longtime friends, whatever your tenure here, I hope you find joy and insight from this morning's reflections. And I do want to take a brief moment and point out that it has been a pleasure to be working once again this morning with our worship associate, Chris Piatek. Her term as a worship associate is coming to an end, and this is her last service. Chris, we thank you. Now, if anyone requires closed captioning, you can turn it on by clicking on the bottom of your screen, the square with the letters CC inside. Click there, and on the option, show subtitle. If you do not wish to see closed captioning, go to the same square and click hide subtitle. We're especially grateful that you are with us today. Now, I invite you to settle and center yourself. Find a way to be comfortable, but also to tell your body that we are in a new place, a new time, an intentional hour. Today would not be the same if you hadn't chosen to be here.
Each week, we light our chalice, a symbol of a faith, a beacon of hope, love, and justice. We join in this lighting in solidarity and community with hundreds of other Unitarian Universalists lighting chalices today in homes and in virtual services, reminding us that we are connected to one another and to a larger community of faith and love. If you have a chalice nearby, please lift it and let us light them together for all to share in the light. And join us in the words, the chalice lighting words. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
New Day's Lyric by Amanda Gorman. May this be the day we come together. Mourning, we come to mend. Withered, we come to weather. Torn, we come to tend. Battered, we come to better. Tethered by this year of yearning, we are learning that though we weren't ready for this, we have been readied by it. We steadily vow that no matter how we are weighed down, we must always pave a way forward. This hope is our door, our portal. Even if we never get back to normal, someday we can venture beyond it to leave the known and take the first steps. So let us not return to what was normal, but reach toward what is next. What was cursed, we will cure. What was played, we will prove pure. Where we tend to argue, we will try to agree. Those fortunes we forswore, now the future we foresee. Where we weren't aware, we're now awake. Those moments we missed, and now these moments we make. The moments we meet, and our hearts once all together beaten, now all together beat. Come, look up with kindness yet, for even solace can be sourced from sorrow. We remember not just for the sake of yesterday, but to take on tomorrow. We heed this old spirit in a new day's lyric, in our hearts we hear it. For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, be bold. Same time this year, be bold, same time. For when you honor yesterday, tomorrow ye will find. Know what we fought need not be forgotten, nor for none. It defines us as one. Come over, join this day just begun. For wherever we come together, we will forever overcome. Now please join together in our gathering hymn, number 389. Gathered here.
Gathered here in the mystery of the hour. Gathered here in one strong body. Gathered here in the struggle and the power. Spirits draw near. Gathered here in the mystery of the
I'd like to invite you into a very brief time of meditation. Take a few deep breaths and center yourselves. Open your mind's eye and hearts to the promise and uncertainty of the new year. As reflected in this poem by W.S. Merwin, the chat is open. So I invite you to, as I read the poem twice, make notes of the feelings that you have or something that jumps out at you from the poem, and just breathe. With what stillness at last you appear in the valley, your first sunlight reaching down to touch the tips of a few high leaves that do not stir, as though they had not noticed and did not know you at all. Then the voice of a dove calls from far away in itself to the hush of the morning. So this is the sound of you. And here and now, whether or not anyone hears it, this is where we have come with our age, our knowledge, such as it is, and our hopes, such as they are, invisible before us, untouched and still possible. With what stillness at last you appear in the valley, your first sunlight reaching down to touch the tips of a few high leaves that do not stir, as though they had not noticed, and though they had not noticed you at all. Then the voice of a dove calls from far away in itself to the hush of the morning. So this is the sound of you, here and now, whether or not anyone hears it. This is where we have come with our age, our knowledge, such as it is, and our hopes, such as they are, invisible before us, untouched, and still possible. And as you continue to reflect on this poem, let us join together in our hymn, Spirit of Life.
I am fascinated by the concept of time. Ever since I read the classic Comics Illustrated version of H.G. Wells' book, The Time Machine, when I was around 8 years old, and then watched the 1960 movie with Rod Taylor and Yvette Mimieux, remember that one? I spent the last 50 plus years thinking about time from time to time. Over the years, my concept of time has changed with age. Maybe yours has too. Isn't it amazing how the hands of the clock move ever so slowly when we are young and something happens? I can't say exactly when, but it happens to all of us sooner or later. Time picks up speed like a fast-moving express train, and you start saying things like, where did the time go? So who knows where the time goes? I certainly don't. But that doesn't stop me from reflecting on it. For most of our lives, we have no idea how much time we've been blessed with. As the novelist Pat Conroy writes, why do they not teach you that time is a finger snap and an eye blink, and that you should not allow a moment to pass you by without taking joyous, ecstatic note of it, not wasting a single moment of its swift breakneck circuit? We are about to embark on an illuminating journey, assessing the time that we have left by joyfully reflecting on what would we do with our lives if time were on our side, and we had all the time in the world. We have a terrific cross-section of participants starting in their 20s and ending with a congregant who is just about to turn 95. Our journey through the generations begins with Lex Reiser, a congregant in his 20s, then Janessa Irwin, who is in her 30s, and we will take a musical break and continue on. And throughout the course of the morning, each of our participants will reflect on what they would do with the rest of their lives if they were to discover that time is on their side and they had all the time in the world. Our journey begins with Lex.
Hello, everybody. I'm Lex. I'm new to UUCWC. And this is my reflection. I guess I am representing the 20s, people in their 20s as a generation. And reflecting on if time was on my side, what would I do with that? And I have a very simple answer of sharing stories. I would share stories that bring forth joy, wonder, and curiosity that sits within our childish and playful hearts. Stories that invoke feelings of being seen, heard, and belonging to those that may not feel it. Stories that drop everyone into themselves, that ask to sit still so that we may discover the whispers of our own hearts. Stories that challenge kids and adults to feel and to name that feeling. Feelings being our inner guidance system. Stories that lift up those whose voices feel too small, not heard or hushed. What are we but a network of stories within our minds, internally connected to each other, to the earth's story, and to our souls? Close. I would spend my time on a soul illusion. An action or a process of solving a problem guided by the inner wisdom of the heart. I cannot think of any other way to spend my time but coming up with a soul solution. And it feels to me like it's just stories. Thank you.
I'm representing the 30s in this morning's generation service. My 30s have brought a busy and sometimes chaotic family life. My husband and I are experiencing the joys and challenges of raising a 2-year-old son, Henry. I've also found a more clear direction in my professional life. I'm a costume designer, mostly for professional ballet and dance. It's a creative field, and the more creative I'm allowed to be, the more I want to learn. That's the key word for this year's prompt. If I had all the time left in the world, I would learn. I grew up playing the piano, and I still play, but I want to learn how to play the violin too. I took French in school, and I still practice, but I would love to learn how to speak Spanish. My husband and I were professional ballet dancers, and someday I want to bribe him into taking competitive ballroom dance lessons with me. At work, the larger creative community is always inspiring me to learn new skills. I'm currently designing a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, and I wanted one of the costumes to glow. I had no idea how to do that, so thanks to the internet, I found some people who have made astonishing light-up costumes. It's so much fun to learn from them, and sometimes I get the opportunity to teach others the skills that I've acquired too. I want to travel to learn about people and cultures. There's a stack of books on my nightstand that's constantly growing taller. There are things I don't even know about that I know I would want to learn. And these are just my realistic dreams. If I truly had infinite time, I could live all those next lives that we're always talking about. I would become a psychologist or a grief counselor, or I would go to school to become an engineer so I could be an Imagineer at Disney. But life always seems to get in the way of life, doesn't it? Although it can be frustrating to never have enough time to learn everything I want to learn, having the drive to learn is something that keeps me from feeling stuck. For me, learning is growth, positive change, and open-mindedness. Although a lot of these endeavors may seem selfish, but by enriching my own life and being open to the greater world, I feel much more empowered and equipped to help others do the same. Learning is dreaming and imagining, and I will certainly never be bored.
Wow, that was tremendous so far. And I have to admit that, like most of you, I am hearing these reflections for the first time. And I hope you are gaining as much insight about members of our congregation from these insights as I am. Our next pair of presenters, and they will be doing this separately, they are representing the 40-year-old age group. And then they will be followed by Marianne Ault, who is representing the 50s. And let's move along and start with, I think it's Justin Roth.
Hello, everyone. My initial response to this philosophical exercise regarding all the time in the world would be to pursue happiness and create happiness for others, but this didn't seem fitting enough given what's been looming in the background and foreground for the last 2 years. One day, while driving and ruminating about such a big question, I was once again reminded that timing is everything. As I turned on the radio, the topic of time was being discussed. The quote I heard at that very moment was, "You can spend time with someone, but not be with them if your attention is elsewhere." And then they went on to make the argument that attention is the most valuable currency, even more so than time. After immediately turning up the volume, I heard, "Our lives are the sum of what we pay attention to. Our lives are what we pay attention to." And that generated the question, so what do I pay attention to, especially considering having all the time in the world? Upon returning home from my drive, I located that Radio Times interview with Catherine Price, and it was titled "The Power of Fun, How to Feel Alive Again." Giving a full listen to the entire episode introduced me to fun magnets, and there it was. I'd spend my time attracting these fun magnets and being a magnet for others. Now, this may sound careless, reckless even, given the gift of time, but understanding fun as being defined by the confluence of playfulness, connection, and flow made it a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you want to play by engaging in activities for enjoyment, connect by being with others, and allow flow by putting yourself in situations that allow you to lose track of time? Here's some of my fun magnets. Playfulness. I have fun when camping and playing in the lake with my kids, whether it's creating a rock collection, jumping off the dock, or paddling the kayaks, all of which bring them sheer joy too. Connection. I have fun sitting around my neighbor's fire pit and sharing stories and deepening our relationship. Flow. I have fun and lose track of time when I'm creating. I enjoy building and woodworking and often go on for hours, sometimes even forgetting to hydrate. And as a magnet for others, I can listen so they feel heard and continue to build right relationships with them. With these simple examples, being attentive to fun magnets no longer seems reckless when you see what they offer you and all those around you. So what will I pay attention to? Rather than pursue happiness as a state of being, I will spend my time in pursuit of opportunities to have and create fun.
If time were on my side, how would I spend it? There are so many people I want to share my life with, places I desire to travel, and new skills I want to acquire. Relationships are what I treasure most. My dreams include a wife and children. I will spend quality time with them as well as with my present-day family and friends. I will reconnect with and travel to see buddies from the past. You know the ones, now known as Facebook friends. Perhaps we went to college or camps together. We once knew everything about each other, and now all I could tell you was which sports their kids play and the name of their cat. I love the nonprofit organization that I work for, and there is so much room for growth. If I still feel this way in 20 years, I will choose not to retire until I am ready. Traveling abroad is something I have yet to experience. My list of countries to visit is long, and I would want to live with the native people and volunteer in their cities and villages. I also would love to travel and volunteer within the United States. Skiing every mountain that I am capable of would be fun too. I have some hobbies from my past that I would like to pick up again, but would need some lessons, such as playing the guitar, piano, and trumpet, as well as knitting and basic sign language. I also want to learn Spanish and join a community band. But wait, why not do some of these things now? I always tend to look at the whole picture and get overwhelmed. I think there is so much I want to do and no time to do it. If I just step back and prioritize, perhaps I don't need all the time in the world, but maybe all the money. I'll just use the time I am given and make the best of it. I'll follow my dreams and live life to the fullest.
What would you do with the rest of your life if you were to discover that time was on your side and you had all the time in the world? This question left me with a lot of other questions. The first one being, what does having all the time in the world really mean? My love for science fiction and fantasy kicked in. Does it mean infinite time because I would live forever? Would my loved ones live forever? What would that do to the planet? Or does it mean being outside time? I can leave this timeline to do extra things like sleep more and pop back in at the point I left. Would I age differently? Or maybe it means I could travel back and forth in time. Think of Hermione with the time turner and do more than one thing at the same time. It would be like dividing myself in two. Who hasn't wanted to do that? It didn't really work out well for Hermione though. She was exhausted most of the time. This year, I began a meditative practice that encourages me to become an awareness in the generous present moment, to exist outside of this physical reality and outside of time. When I return to the physical and to time, I'm supposed to remind myself that there is enough time for all that I want to do, because it is always the present moment. Therefore, I've interpreted this prompt as always having enough time. I struggle with transitions from one task to the next and one season to the next, feeling anxiety about all that needs to be done. I need time to rest and replenish that I don't always think I have and don't always take. How can I establish, not necessarily balance, but harmony? I recognize that time is just one resource. To survive, we need food, shelter, clothing, and healthcare, and we need an income to pay for that in this capitalistic society. I would love to be able to work part-time at a job that I was passionate about and nourishes me. Thank you for that term, by the way, Natalie Edmond, and for my husband, Bob, to be able to do the same. This job might change over time, and what part-time looks like might change. One attractive example that I've heard of lately is working for 6 months and then having 6 months off. I'd be happy to do this for many years because I would have the time to rest and replenish. When I wasn't earning income, I would do those many other things that nourish me, those things that we do that help us thrive. Being with loved ones, traveling, biking, hiking, discovering new places, both near and far, playing games, volunteering, reading, making music, yoga, eating great foods, crafts, doing puzzles, you get the drift. There are so many things that I love to do that don't earn me any income. One thing that really nourishes me is the opportunity to just be. It's important for me to pause regularly and truly be in the present moment, to notice and appreciate the beautiful, if challenging life and world that's all around us. This pause can replenish me and help me with transitions, both big and small. Meditation and reflecting in a journal help me practice this for long intervals so I can do it reflexively for short intervals. The reality is, I don't have infinite time. I don't live outside time, and I can't go back forth in time, but I believe that I have enough time. What I would do with the rest of my life is to choose only those things that nourish me and allow for harmony in my life. And how I would be is in the generous present moment.
And that was Justin Roth and Sarah Burke representing the 40-year-old generation and Marianne Ault handling the 50s. And we are winding down our journey through time here. We've got a few more reflections to share. We're going to start with Jim Sanders and Polly Bussey, jointly representing the 60s age group. They will be followed by Terry Caton, who will take care of the 70s generation. Michael Howe Smith is going to join us and represent the 80s. And we're going to wind things up with Ruth Samsel, who actually participated in our very first generation service a few years ago. And she, once again, is going to talk about the 90s. I believe she's on the verge of turning 95.
All the time in the world poses a particularly interesting perspective at this point in my life. Being newly retired, time has a completely different meaning. No longer am I regulated by work or contrived commitments or anything from the outside. Time feels like it belongs to me. Yet a new force asserts itself as I seek reflection inward and expansion outward simultaneously.
And I am now part of a demographic that is not targeted by advertisers. And time looks different for me, too. I want to continue to live a full and wonderful life based on the foundation of the decades that precede. In my teens and 20s, I experienced live music and theater, both on stage and off. Through my 30s, my love of arts grew, and I merged that with love of family, home, including this church community and intentional family. In my 40s, I learned not to compare my life with anyone else's, to follow my own beat to my own drum.
Go, go, go slow, no go, is a mantra that many in retirement share. It, in theory, lays the foundation of the years ahead. For me, I seek no longer to acquire things, but rather knowledge, relationships, and cultural understandings, and to connect, making the world a better place, no matter the increment of that betterment.
You know, in the past 10 to 15 years, I've learned the gift of being a caregiver to others, learning to live with changing health challenges and aging parents. Nothing else matters without good health. I recognize to not let a day go by without saying, I love you.
I love you. I acknowledge the importance of something I've always possessed, generosity of spirit and kindness. I wish to continue to weave the threads of compassion, joy, and kind actions. I value the blessedness of silence and pausing. I want to be, not necessarily do, for the sake of doing.
2 years into this pandemic world has shown me that nothing is guaranteed. To embrace mortality provides a certain freedom that can't be verbalized. It's the freeing of the spirit. Only now have I comprehended that wisdom and its true meaning.
I'm realizing that in life, singing a chorus of love with my heart and actions brings me immeasurable joy. Returning kindness to people returns life to me. Centering in and reaching out is my mantra.
Science says that time in children's brains is perceived as slower because of the sheer number of new experiences, the learnings, and just the newness of the world. I want to be that intentional and try my best to perceive the world now as children do, and combat to exist only in routine.
To experience life in the now, as Mary Lynn Robinson states, any human face is a claim on you. I want to bend into that connection and be vulnerable, and remembering I'm blessed to have this life partner journeying with me. While we are on separate journeys, we intertwine through music and laughter. For us, love is a succession of adaptations, and nature and laughter integrates both of our spirits. Charlie Brown sits and says, "Someday we will die."
Snoopy responds, "True, but what about all the other days? Time presents opportunities to discover things we haven't even thought of yet."
And what we promised to each other over 37 years ago still holds true.
"And stand together, yet not too near together, for the pillars of the temple stand apart.
And the oak tree and the cypress grow not in each other's shadows. We continue to grow in life's deep meaning,
while also giving out to the world."
Scott has asked me an interesting question. What if time were of no consequence? That there was time enough? What would I choose to do? I've done some interesting things, walked the byways of my ancestors, seen the Rosetta Stone, passed through cities upon which Perugia is built, flew an airplane, watched Danny Kaye enchant a theater of people. I've camped out in the Rockies and swum with the dolphins in the Bahamas, driven the Autostrada, and survived a day trip in Manhattan with a six-year-old. I've done a mess of stuff. What's left on my bucket list are things that require more than time, physical well-being, ability, and stamina, like skiing down a mountain after a snowfall, or bungee jumping over the New River, or sailing anywhere. So that leaves the interior landscape. What of me? How did I get here in this life with the beliefs that I have? I want to explore how the building blocks of my religious history have helped form my life. How have particular ideas changed the path I'm on? And were these changes done knowingly? Or were they so gradual they simply became? I would like to map out my journey to show the turnings, dead ends, and backtracking I've done. While I'm comfortable with who I am, I look forward to this internal exploration. After all, I am still an unknown territory.
One of the many joys of being a member of this congregation is the excellence of our adult education program. I'm in Wellspring and consequently have the benefit of the services of a spiritual director. When she emails me, she signs off with this phrase: "Don't look back, you're not going that way." Now therein lies a problem. Unlike the Red Queen in Through the Looking Glass, my memory is unidirectional. My memories are all in the past, not one of them lies in the future. Yet planning the rest of my life requires me to look back. How else can I recall and implement the lessons I learned? So, I'm going to break her rule and look backwards. But at the same time, I'm going to observe her rule by remembering occasions when people who are much wiser than I am gave me counsel that moulded my future. Let's start with Mr. Bromwich. He taught English and English literature at the King Edward VI Grammar School for Boys. It was he who said, "Heirs of the past, we are architects of the future." Now there's a thought for mischievous teenage boys. Heirs of the past, we are architects of the future. It was his way of instilling into our youthful heads an understanding of our responsibility for our actions. He wanted us to know that every action, and indeed every inaction, has a consequence. And we alone are responsible for the decisions we make. Let's move on to university. I was fortunate, very fortunate. Essex County awarded me an academic scholarship, and for my college bills to be paid, I had to collect a signature from my tutor, certifying that I was making satisfactory progress. When I took the form to him for the first time, he struck out the printed text and wrote something in its place. He looked up. He saw the look of horror on my face, and he said, "Smith, never allow yourself to be bullied by a form." It's turned out to be good advice, and I've expanded it to this. Don't wait for permission. Do what's right. You can explain afterwards, when the smoke has cleared. After college came compulsory military service in the Royal Navy, where the only thing I learned was why sailors wear bell-bottom trousers. After that, I married Janet, my high school sweetheart. She taught me how to make our marriage a lasting one. When we fell out, she would say, "Hands and eyes." We'd look into each other's eyes, hold hands, and not let go until we were reconciled. Another lesson came from Pauline, Janet's big sister. I said I'd like to have more friends. She responded with this advice: "If you want to have friends, be one." So, for the rest of my life, I'm going to accept my responsibilities. I'm not going to be bullied by bureaucracy. I will work cooperatively to resolve problems, and I will make more friends. As I do so, I will remind myself that everyone is important. I'll try to treat everyone fairly, to accept people as they are, and to search for the truth. I listen to what others have to say. I'll work for peace, live in harmony with Mother Nature, and I will be colorblind in my interpersonal relations. I hope you recognize those eight intentions as a simple and easily understood version of the eight UU principles that you and I have covenanted to uphold. We are all on the same journey together, and I wish you well as you interpret our principles in setting a fruitful and meaningful course for your life. One last word. I'd also like to be a sort of Johnny Appleseed, spreading the seeds of smiles and laughs wherever I go. Winston Churchill once said that it takes courage to stand up and speak, but it takes much more courage to sit down and listen. Thank you for your courage today.
The question proposed by UUCWC: what would I do with the rest of my life if I were to discover that time was on my side and I had all the time in the world? Now, that's a proposition that I can entertain with a certain amount of amusement. Given a glance at the past 2 years of medical pandemic, climate readjustments, and social belligerence, and being 95 tomorrow, I view having unlimited time on my hands with a bit of amusement. However, pretending that all things being equal, I really believe I will be doing a lot of the same things I have been doing, only slower. I will keep up with friends and families of friends. That means I can love them, spoil them, listen to their exploits. I will continue to socialize and party when possible. I will travel virtually all over the world now because my traveling friends FaceTime me. It's cheaper this way and very inspiring. I love touring Japan this year, then off to Italy twice, and I got to see Ireland all over again.
I only hope someone goes to Iceland next year. Since the pandemic eased up a little, I saw New York, and having lived there, I'm always nostalgic seeing the lights and traffic. I have a number of t-shirts collected over the years while traveling, and will have a quilt made of them this year. I'm anticipating the advanced computer course offered through the largesse of the Senior Planet program as a follow-up of this semester. It will be offered beginning mid-January. The craft course will continue with more advanced paper quilling, which has turned out to be great fun and increases finger dexterity. Also for dexterity and mind games, I play cards every week with some card sharks. My weekly calendar includes a daily walk, one book a week, and when the muse strikes, a bit of writing. On a good week, I have no doctor's visits. I drive myself to all appointments, grocery shopping, and sometimes just out and about to look around or stop into my favorite shop for a piece of pizza. My belief is that if one is living, by all means, live. Stay with the happy people and find joy in whatever you do. As for generational insight expressed today, I have no doubt that today's presenters predict the brightest future blessed with hope, freshness, optimism, gratitude, and promise. So I join them as the old crone and look forward to the future with gusto.
Live a life on my own terms, live a life I waste, so I'm there.
Wow, today's service has been such a wonderful reflection on time. Thank you to all of you for your wonderful reflections. For some of us, time might not be different. We might do exactly what we're doing now. For others, there might be a sea change in life's unfolding. For me, coming to UUCWC in 1995 was the beginning of more intentional living, of more conscious reflection and discernment of my place, both in our smaller community and the larger world. I know with more certainty now than I did before coming to UUCWC that what we do does matter, and that it is important to voice our beliefs, to oppose injustice where it exists. We have the capacity to change the world through action, civil discourse, and generosity. Last week, Reverend Kim spoke about the many ways UUCWC has touched our lives, and that gratitude for this community is also expressed through our service to the community, to each other, and to the larger world outside our doors. In this spirit, we commit to UUCWC both through our service and our financial giving. As always, 50% of each week's financial affirmation, excluding pledges, is given to organizations in our community and in the world that do the work of caring and advocacy, organizations that change people's lives by fighting food insecurity, homelessness, and inequality in education. You can make your donation by check, through e-banking, or through the church website. And in addition, the stewardship team would like to thank all our members and friends who have contributed to our end of year holiday gift campaign, which has reached 87% of the goal with $15,645 in donations. It is not too late to donate, so please consider giving to sustain the important work and community of UUCWC. The link to our website is in the chat. And as always, to assist our treasurer, regardless of your method of donation, make a notation of where you would like your donation directed and indicate whether it's for the weekly plate or the end of year appeal. On this first Sunday of the new year, UUCWC holds each of you in gratitude and appreciation.
Red light, dark night, sit and wait. Stare up at the stars in space. Even they seem to be moving faster than me now. Four-lane traffic, every road. Count the miles left to go. I know I'll get there even though I can't see how. When all I do is start to stop, and I wanna give up more times than not. But I'll grit my teeth and clench my fist, 'cause life is like an alchemist. It takes its time to turn you into something bright. And I can fight it or admit that pain is where the change begins. To prove your goal, you gotta face the fire and smoke. View time just like it's a threat. Always race it in my head. I'm told patience is a virtue, but I'm no saint. Every setback takes its toll. Doubt myself and what I know. I can't decide if I'm the kind to trust fate. What happens if the clock runs out before I figure it all out? into something bright. And I can't fight it or admit that pain is where the change begins. To prove your goal, you gotta face the fire and smoke. They say it's the miles that make the man. So I'll grit my teeth, clench my fist. 'Cause life is like an alchemist. It takes its time. It's time. And I can't fight it or admit pain is where change begins. To prove your goal, you gotta face the fire and smoke. Oh. Red light, dark night, sit and wait. Stare up at the stars in space. Even they seem to be moving faster than me.
Our closing words are from the writer Ann Patchett from her Sarah Lawrence commencement address titled, What Now? Coming back is the thing that enables you to see how all the dots in your life are connected, how one decision leads you to another, how one twist of fate, good or bad, brings you to a door that later takes you to another door, which, aided by several detours, long hallways, and unforeseen stairwells, eventually puts you in the place you are now. This is the day we are given. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now please join us for our closing hymn, We Laugh, We Cry. I believe the lyrics are in the video, and the original intent was to do two verses, but I'm not sure what the video has in store for us, so please stick around because we are going to have our breakout rooms after this service.
Please, if you have a chalice lit at home, let's lift them up together and say the words found in the chat. We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These remain kindled until we meet again. Our virtual coffee hour will begin any moment, after we have a few minutes to unmute and say hello. And for those who want to join a breakout room, just choose accept. I just want to take a small moment to say my gratitude and thanks for my time on Worship Associates. It has been a privilege and a joy to serve in this capacity, especially during the 2 years of the pandemic. It's a wonderful ministry. It's just been a joy. It's been nice to share this morning with all of you. Take care, everyone. Happy New Year. This was a wonderful service. Thank you for your time together.